gentlemen, boys and girls, guests or hosts of any hat color, welcome back to Westworld Weekly, a host and guest guide to the park and general AI revolt. I'm your host, Beef, and this week we have guests in the park.
I'm Wing.
I'm John O'Lobster.
And I'm Shark Taco, completing the food foursome for this week.
Holy shit, it is. Oh my god, there's so much food in this room, it's dirty.
I know.
It's like a buffet.
I thought the joke was going to play well with the three of us, and then Shark Taco comes on like, hey.
And think about it, we're like a surf and turf. We got
surf and
beef
turf
and lobster.
And sky and sea, and yeah. It's fine.
Well, now we'll talk about the robotic food, apparently, that we have in the room, which is the 1973 version of Westworld. Oh my god.
Oh my god.
So this movie
directed by one of my favorite authors.
Yes!
Michael Crichton.
Yeah.
However,
one of the Jurassic Park, the original,
the guy,
it makes
yeah, the guy has like some fear with parks. Jurassic Park, Westworld.
Sure.
I mean, I don't know what happened to him at Disneyland when he was young, but
it's true.
He realized that the robots could just get electrocuted and he moved on to
dinosaurs. By like splashing water on them.
Remember, the Pirates of the Caribbean breaks down, the pirates don't eat the tourists.
That, are you sure about that?
But they might
shoot
them.
They might. Yeah.
Have you rode? It's like a. It's a nice world after
It's a small world after
yeah,
all.
I'm sure these character eats the people once.
Yeah.
Like one out of 10 cars just like gets diverted at the end.
I'm so disappointed because I really enjoy the new show on HBO,
sure.
And to like go back and watch
this. And
that's
this, kind of the reason we're talking about this. On your Westworld podcast on Legends podcast.
Crossover edition. But see,
I
didn't understand how cheesy it was. I didn't understand how fucking lame the original source material was.
It's 73. Give it a break.
And that was my next thing. If I had seen it in 73 or if I had seen it early on in my life, maybe.
I mean,
still,
let's give it some credit because this comes at us before RoboCop. The Terminator.
True.
And there's a definite The Terminator vibe with Yul Brynner.
Oh, yeah.
When did THX came out?
When did what?
When did THX 1138 came out?
After,
before?
Yeah, definitely after this. This is before even 2001 A Space Odyssey gave us homicidal AI.
But see, I don't think Yul Brynner did it very well. Like, I get it, but
okay, so Yul Brynner plays basically the same character that he played in The Magnificent Seven, right down to his outfit.
Yes.
He's a gunslinger. He's a badass.
How is he a badass? He insults someone like three lines and then doesn't say shit the rest of the movie. I am sorry, people who really love Yul Brynner.
You need a bib. You better run and tell your mama.
He holds quite a grudge.
Right.
When they meet him on the third day, they're like, oh,
no, this guy
no,
again.
Not today. Not today.
And that's
it's too early in the day for this, pal.
I don't know. I just didn't see him as the big bad. And then I heard, he's the robot. And I'm like, oh, he's going to be this self-aware robot. And he starts to get shit. And then it's just like, no, he just stands there and says annoying shit and then gets shot.
There is no story about self-awareness of robot.
This movie is not self-aware.
No, right. But I knew nothing. I knew that the show was based off a movie, and then I went into it like, oh, this is going to give me some greater outlook on it, because everyone's like, have you watched the movie? And I'm like, no, not till the end of the first season. I don't want it to ruin anything.
Well, it gives you new respect, I think, for the creators of the show.
Oh, God, yeah.
To take this idea, and really the only two things are Westworld, which is actually called Western World in this.
Correct.
And Delos, being the parent corporation, having other worlds. There's medieval world and Roman world. And basically, like, the stuff is in there where people go to these places to live out fantasies.
Correct.
And shoot people and screw. And they pay a lot of money.
$1,000 a day.
And
what is it now? 40 grand?
It's 1,200. Like, and then it's ooh, like, inflation.
It's 40 grand now. I mean, on the show. But it's still, you break back to, I get where this is the same reason I like really shitty sci-fi movies usually, because I can see what they're trying to get at and I can make this other world in my mind. But still, even my crazy multiple personality
beef. It all looks like a soundstage, and they're using sets that were clearly built for other movies or TV shows.
Right. Yeah, because it's the cheap shit that they can get away with. But yeah. I still would have never come up with half as good of a story as they did for the new one.
I mean, it really is kind of genius, because he's like, we're going to make this for no money using shit we already have laying around. So here's our costumes from Robin Hood.
The biggest
here's
money.
Here's our costumes from Bonanza.
Oh, that's
and,
right. They did
and
do those
like,
two other worlds.
We did a movie about Jesus, so we're going to use our Roman shit or Ben-Hur or whatever. I don't know. Spartacus, something.
The face-off of taking...
And then they went and sold Roman world to Zardoz the next year.
Right.
when they had Yul Brynner's face set sideways by itself, and in 73, everyone was probably like, that is the greatest shit ever. Because it still looked good today, but...
Yeah, well... Okay.
Well, okay.
And the only thing we're going to have to tell the robots apart from the people are their hands.
Okay, that is
that's weird.
That is a huge problem of mine, because they never realized it might be the eyes or something more intricate. It's the hands. They look like blistery water hands all day.
Yeah, the only thing, the eyes were the ones when they were going bad. The eyes got shiny.
I meant real world, like mom. Uncanny Valley type stuff.
Oh, okay, sure.
Oh, yeah. But it's funny because
they look completely lifelike, except they have sausage
right.
fingers.
Show me your hands.
Apart for the terrible acting.
Well,
okay.
It's pretty damn rigid.
There's one other issue that I had, I'm trying to be gentle here. But with the robot design, right? So the whole thing with the gun will not fire if it detects a warm body, right?
Right.
And the robots are cold. Except the dude sleeps with one, and he's not all like, oh, your hands are freezing. Or get your cold feet off. Right. It's
and still, like, okay, all of those things. But then also they never explained it from the other side why Mr. Yul Brynner, Captain Man and Black's gun could shoot hair. Captain Hair, not mustache.
I'm just thinking of cold poon now.
Any poon
really
would be good.
Cold
sorry.
Poon.
What about the CR monitor, right? Hey, you got to go fix that CRT monitor fade.
Yeah.
Oh, God.
I rewound it.
You need to degauss the monitor there.
Jesus.
Yeah, what about the screen savers all over the place? Like the little prismatic shapes flying all over. Oh, yeah, that tells me something about the status of my robots.
This was the first movie to ever use digital process on screen because it did the pixelization for the robot vision.
Well, Terminator vision.
Yeah, that was a groundbreaking effect.
Yeah, it was groundbreakingly horrible nowadays. I know.
Oh, God. Hey, I was just bitching.
What'll it be? Whiskey. I'll have a vodka lemonade sour martini with a very dry.
With a twist.
Yeah, right.
Shaken, not stirred.
It's like, no, you'll have whiskey or piss water, dude.
Yeah.
Well, piss water seems okay. Hmm.
He needs his mama. You talk too much.
To me, this did kind of get at something that the Westworld show kind of ignores. You're paying all this money to stay at this theme park, and you're basically like sleeping on crappy beds with shitty food and terrible booze.
At least they addressed that.
But see, I don't know like, about terrible booze.
I can't believe
and all
I'm
that.
Paying $1,000 a day for this.
You might have
and
a nice squishy
to,
bed
have,
that looks like shit, though, in the new one. You might have a squishy bed. You
get to have an awkward dinner at basically like your mother-in-law's. And she tells you not to talk about anything fun.
But can you shoot your mother-in-law after dinner in the real world?
You
it might be
may
worth it.
Not.
It might be worth it to sleep on the shitty bed and drink the shitty bathtub whiskey and maybe go blind from it in your fantasy world. I'm just
It's authentic.
Right. I'm just saying.
Yeah. The other thing is like nothing can happen to you. Nothing can happen to you.
Nothing can go wrong.
Yeah. But when they fight, people are throwing chairs, bottles at each other.
Broken glass.
things are falling on your head.
And how does that work in medieval world? I mean, I was looking at the knight fight when he kills it for the first time. But I was like,
when they were sword fighting, the swords kept bending, so it didn't really seem that terrifying.
How do swords judge heat?
Yeah.
Seriously.
Okay,
and
that
like
red...
The battery in the gun at the
low
end.
Battery.
Anyone feel like the red blood was so red? It was like, what the fuck?
It looked like paint.
Yeah.
Yeah, at first I thought that was like, okay, those are robots. So
right. But then it was everybody.
Yeah, then it was everybody. I was like, oh, it's just cheap. Okay.
So another problem with the whole the robots' bodies are cold is that they're in a desert. So theoretically, if it's 90 degrees, the robots' bodies would heat up to 90 degrees unless they had some sort of coolant system.
Or even just under.
The human in that world are so hot that when they walk on cement, they leave actual, like,
You leave glowing footprints.
You
of
wouldn't
your boots.
Do that unless you were barefoot and you were sweating your balls off in the sun. Like robots, you say 90 degrees. Robots might be a little bit less than that if they were slightly in the shade or out of it. But yeah, it's ambient temperature. That's
right.
That was another red flag. Like, come on, people. Hey, that's a magical trick.
Another Michael Crichton thing. Hiding right in front of the thing chasing you based on a weakness in its vision.
Oh my god. Yeah, no, you're right. I didn't even notice that.
Its vision's based on movement. It can't see you if you don't move.
Its vision's based on heat.
You can't see you if you're standing under a torch.
And then he still fucking moved. Even though the movement thing I can get, but you're standing under a torch and the torch is 1 square foot of flame and you're 6 feet tall.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, that guy, let's just put it that way, that guy was terrible at running from its enemy.
Look at
that
mustache.
He was terrible at acting. He was terrible at running. He was terrible at existing. This movie has James Brolin completely wasted, by the way.
Wait a minute. That's the one that dies, right?
What?
That's the hair?
Yeah, okay.
That's the Christian Bale lookalike?
Yeah. Awesome young James Brolin.
I love my horse. Character. I love the spots on my horse. Yes, it's a beautiful horse.
But when you think about it, the relationship between these two characters are similar to the one from the show.
Yeah.
Well, no, one's going through a divorce. See, I don't understand. It's like they're overtly blatant, like, oh, yeah, so sorry she got the kids. Too bad you're a lawyer.
Yep.
But...
She really took you for a ride. Well, what can you do? Better go fuck a robot.
Is that supposed to make us... Oh, okay. Let's get back to that real quick. Sorry, Shark Taco. Yell at me if you will. This is 1973. All right. I expected at least one overtly over-the-top pair of jugs. It's a robot
I was totally
movie.
Waiting for that. Right. I was like,
the
like
blonde?
When she's getting her, right. when she's taking her clothes off, I'm like, is there going to be nudity?
Three, two,
is there?
Jugs. No, none.
No jugs.
What the
no
fuck? Jugs. Like, I felt more offended that there wasn't even a nipple hint because it's like, this is 73, big hair and jugs. I expected them.
Yep.
But you know what? I'm okay that I didn't get them.
Maybe not in Westworld, but. Maybe in Roman world?
Anything. Even a swinging cock. Even a swinging cock in Rome world.
Daphne, your majesty.
Oh my god, that was awkward as shit.
Daphne!
I still don't understand all the... Did they throw those in there just as caveats like to fill time? The Roman and all? Because Roman world and that world, they were what? Five minutes? 10 minutes each?
Another reference.
Someone needed to die that we didn't care about, that they didn't build up. So that's why they put that awful, stupid guy over there.
Another reference to another Michael Crichton work, Timeline, where they go back to medieval Europe.
That was Crichton?
Yeah. He wrote the novel, later made into a movie with Paul Walker.
I remember the movie. Okay, so was it awkward to everyone as well, or just me that... dude who's going to try to go bang the queen is all angry that his wife wants to go get some hot Roman cock.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, 1970s double standard.
True. No, wait, you're right. Hang on. Yeah, carry the one and add a mustache. You're right. 73, double standard.
Yep. Oh, please. Still up today.
Oh, true. True.
I feel like it kind of is, yeah.
I'm actually pretty impressed that there was a joke about that woman wanting to fuck.
That was very impressive. The Roman lady one, you mean? Or the one that wanted the Romans?
Okay, so to
be talking about women wanting extramarital sex, that's already something.
Well, and it starts with this sort of man-on-the-street interview of people as they're leaving the park. And the woman says, I feel so at peace and relaxed. And I'm just glowing.
That's because she just came for a month.
She just had an orgasm. It's fine. You know,
I like how at the end, the old dude who's now the Lord or whatever, the one we've been talking about, he randomly gets rejected by the, you know,
yes,
castle wench, and everybody's like,
he was rejected by a pleasure bot,
right? That's what it is, and everybody, it blows their mind that this fat old slob couldn't possibly be rejected.
It resisted his seduction,
right? Right. Yeah. We may have programmed it, but have you smelled his balls from 10 feet away? Sure.
Yeah, well, seduction is indeed a pretty strong word for what he was doing.
Yes,
come hither, please, please.
He basically went up and grabbed her by the
poon.
He's not Trump. Leave him be. Okay, hold on. How about this? You can disable them with acid for the eyes, and then the last 40 minutes are quiet running around, and he happens to stumble upon acid?
Yeah, like four neatly labeled clear bottles of acid.
I hate old movies just for that reason. It's like, here's your music for 20 minutes.
But think about
it. Here's my glass of water. Oh, nope, that's the acid again.
Yeah. Think about it. You met a guy just before who basically told him everything he needed to know.
Yeah. And that guy promptly dies.
And then dies.
Yeah.
Every time I see that in a movie nowadays, I'm like, God damn it, I hate you, Wing, for making me do a podcast and realize these things.
Come on.
Like how everyone in Rogue One died right after they fulfilled their plot duty.
Well, they had to because they're not talked about ever again in the universe.
Yeah, but did they have to finish their duty every time? I mean,
I have to finish my duty every time. I mean, come on.
Can't just leave it half
finished.
Half done thy duty. So a little fun casting, you guys, as we're getting back into talking about Westworld.
Huh?
Yeah, this movie that we watched, crazy movie.
Right.
So Majel Barrett plays Miss Carrie, who's the madam of the Westworld Bordello. Majel Barrett was an actress in lots of different Star Trek roles. She played Nurse Chapel on the original series. She was Luoxana Troi in The Next Generation.
Was she?
Yep.
I love that character.
And she does the voice of the computer all of the later Star Trek iterations. And she was married to Gene Roddenberry. So fun little bit of casting there that she's in Westworld as a robot. As a robot.
A robot.
We also have, I mentioned James Brolin, the actor, father of Josh Brolin, husband to Barbara Streisand. And we also have Dick Van Patten as the banker. Dick Van Patten does a lot of fun stuff, and he was in Robin Hood, Men in Tights, and Spaceballs. A couple fun references there.
So you knew who these actors were. Okay.
Yeah.
Except for Brolin, I was like, these seems...
So one fun thing about this movie is it really is kind of a pastiche on a lot of Western tropes. Crichton really does kind of shoot the film like almost as though it's like a Western you've seen before. And in a lot of ways, it does replicate a lot of shots and scenes in that way. Another interesting thing for me is that this world has consequences. Like the guest goes to jail for shooting the host, whereas in the Westworld TV show, there's really no in-game consequences for killing a host if you're one of the guests or newcomers, as they're called.
I didn't even pick it up as that. I just figured they screwed something else up in the narrative.
To me, it just seemed like an excuse for them to play the sheriff. You
right.
know?
They do a jailbreak scene, which is kind of cool. But also one of the guests says that he wants to be the sheriff. And they're just like, yeah, sure. He can be the sheriff. Whatever.
Give him the badge.
Yeah, we just give him the badge. It's fine.
Whatever the guests want, right?
Yeah.
But how did they? I got that he explode the wall, but with what?
Exactly. A cigar.
With his
Doesn't
teeth.
Matter.
Didn't you get the hints?
Yeah, but... Yeah, but
I'm going to kill you with my teacup.
Yes.
I said I'm going to kill you with my teacup.
Part 2.5. Not Dark Fury. I got it.
Vin Diesel.
Thank you. I'm there.
Chronicles
yes,
of
Riddick. Thank you.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
Another interesting thing at the very beginning, probably I felt like most of their special effects budget was the hovercraft that takes you to Delos.
I totally noticed. I was like, wow, the effects are actually good for 73. And then I was like, oh, you know what? No, they're not. It's the only scene that looked good.
Sure.
Yeah, you better buy in right away.
And kind of interesting because you see a lot in Westworld, they use trains to get. I'm sorry, the HBO Westworld, they use trains a lot. Mm-hmm. You take a train in and out of the Delos facility, and then you take a train into Westworld.
I still don't know if I believe that, though. Train, quote-unquote, Cody Fingers. It still feels teleporty to me. Okay. I don't mean teleporty, cool. But...
Hovercrafty, maybe.
Yeah, still hovercrafty is a little weird. But I know what you mean. They take the time to point that out where it's just kind of like, eh.
Hovercraft.
No.
Hovercraft.
Maybe with a Y on the end.
Yeah, hovercrafty.
Yeah, the way they cleaned the town was kind of cheap, too.
Yeah. The street sweeper just comes in and cleans up the dead bodies.
But you got the people crane, too.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, that you can see where they branch for the HBO Westworld now, though. It's the same thing. Like, lights come in and they... I don't know what the HBO Westworld makes it so much more plausible, though, where it's not like everybody happens to just fall asleep at the exact same time. And
right.
Then
yeah, that's what I was saying. Like, oh, thank God the guests sleep at regular hours,
right.
Even on their vacation.
Thank God Shark Taco isn't there up till 4 a.m.
They drink terrible whiskey and get hit on the head with things, and then they sleep. And wake up with terrible hangovers.
Yeah, but Shark Taco's been here, and she's drank terrible whiskey, and she's still up till like 4 on vacation. So there's no way that.
But
one other similarity between the Westworld, the movie, and the TV show is that it's very clear that all of the control facilities are underground, because you see him, he climbs in the urn or whatever and goes down the ladder. And it seems
true.
Like all of the control stuff is below ground. Topside is the Westworld.
I was fully expecting like for him to go down that manhole and then find some evil genius, possibly AI himself, like giving him a big speech about, but the creatures must be freed, blah, blah, blah. I was totally expecting some evil.
We'll get there with the regular
for that
one,
all
sure.
along.
Yeah.
Yep.
What if...
Apart from that, there was just like those scientists that just asphyxiated sitting at their chairs,
not even
piled up next to the door trying to open it or whatever.
They're just
gonna
die
there. No, I'm gonna keep working until I die.
And not just that.
It's a very, very young Anthony Hopkins comes out.
Yeah.
Actually young, not like weird CG young.
Hey, that CG young was pretty goddamn amazing.
It was pretty good. Yeah, it worked way better than
a lot of the de-aging.
Rogue One.
Yes. Yes. Mm. But it also wasn't in front of you for 20 minutes.
No, they didn't. Right. Yeah.
I guess, we're on both casts here. Hey, people.
Sure.
Have you heard the theory that they may be on Mars in the show or somewhere?
Ooh.
Somewhere bigger.
Oh, that's interesting.
Because,
well, we don't know what's outside.
Hold on,
There are very few indications of what the outside world
and that's,
is like. And that is one thing that I really, really love about the HBO Westworld. Is they give you these tiny, tiny hints
about
what the outside world is like, and I love that.
I try not to go, I mean, I have my own crazy theories, but then I go and I only look for theories against it. Like the whole Man in Black is William. I only did the theories against it. And the only one against it was blonde security douche has to be a robot. So, well, not anymore because he was, Dolores was going through her story. Anyways, so again, where does that leave the Mars theory? I mean, could they be on Mars? Because they always say it's so hard to get a line out there. All these people are on like 6 or 8 month or longer rotations, and everything other than the park is underground. I know. It's an interesting theory. Do I believe it? Not necessarily, but there really isn't much against it.
But you see people work there for 8 months in a row?
Well,
are you sure? Because the guy that then ended up being a robot was technically asking every night.
He'd been there for a long time.
But they talk about the longer rotations, and then even when he talked to his ex-wife, or what he thought was his ex-wife, they still talked about how it was so hard to get a link out there, and even the regular people in the outskirts of the cast talk about how hard it is to get a link to their loved ones.
Yeah, but there are satellites and constellations, and if they were on Mars, wouldn't all the constellations look a little bit different?
Not enough to be that different from here. And you tell me Orion would look that much different from Mars?
I don't know, man.
Here?
I'm not an astro.
No. That sounded a touch douchey, but I think if it would look anywhere similar in the universe or galaxy, it would be from...
It'd be within our own solar system.
Right.
Yeah, probably. To make
damn
sense.
Your logic circuits. Damn them all to hell.
And they're getting mock because I have a... Back to Westworld, this one. I have a cone for a mouth.
I have a cone for a mouth.
honk. And there's no tongue in there.
No, nothing.
There's nothing.
Yeah. It's a speaker. It's an old school fucking... What it is it's a phonograph speaker. In 73, you're like, that'll be the key.
No. Well,
every time they showed you technology, attempt to show you like some circuit board laid on people, wires
lots of capacitors and things.
Because I think at that time it's like holy shit. Early on in movie making, they didn't know. Hey, look at this. Well, hey, look at this. In a few years, is going to look like shit.
Not only that, but I mean, this was almost. This was a few years shy of like the PC revolution.
It was leading edge.
Yeah,
cutting
edge. I mean. And one thing that you can always count on Michael Crichton to do is he's always like a few years ahead of where common technology is, but he makes it seem like, oh, this is the wave of the future. And it's like maybe 2 years from now, people will have stuff similar.
But even in like he learned over time, filmmakers learned over time, even by Jurassic Park, by the time they made that, it wasn't like don't show you as much of the quote unquote technology, just describe it. And
But Jurassic Park, the movie, is still a Spielberg movie and adapted from a book by the same guy.
Sure.
So you can't really compare the movies because you're talking about a guy that directed 8 movies, which are all not that great, and probably the best filmmaker of all time.
Yeah.
You think Michael Crichton directed 8 movies?
Yep. Or he has 8 directing credit. I think the last one he did is like Timeline or some stuff.
No, he did not direct Timeline.
No, that was Donner.
No.
Yes, that was Richard Donner.
It was directed by Richard Donner or produced?
Directed. Pretty sure that's the last movie he directed in his career.
Such a terrible movie.
I know. Paul Walker. Go on.
Rest in peace.
All right. Any final thoughts with this version of Westworld? Not very tense. Like, I know, like, the first half of the movie, like, really nothing happens. It's just them enjoying the park with, like, fairly regular check-ins in the control room.
Right.
And then the control room people, they all just suffocate, I guess, because the power went out.
Again,
and then
you have a computer room and there is no air system or ventilation of some kind. If you close the door, you're screwed.
And apparently it's just a virus. It's a random STD. Why all the robots rebel? There is no actual underlying consciousness or anything more than that.
No.
It's just, hey, there's a flaw, and we don't point it out. It's not even like a glitch.
There's no explanation. There's just a, but they're machines. They shouldn't get ill. Well, they're very complex machines.
Yeah. We don't even know how they work. I like how they took that line, too.
Dennis Nedry was not trying to sell the secrets in the Barbasol can, and you know, fucked with shit to make things go haywire.
I have your baby robots here. Well, I don't, yeah. What?
I have your baby robots in my Dodson. We got Dodson here. See, nobody cares.
Yeah, it was. I guess that's why I love you. Some evil genius to have a long monologue at the end, because yeah. Something needed to explain this sudden malfunction
and
that drives him to murder.
Even the final showdown for a Western film, the final showdown, the robot catches on fire and falls over. Like,
oh my God.
There's no sense of like drama or danger.
It's just a jump scare at the end. You're like, turn around, burnt to a crisp. Oh, you're scary. Oh, you fell down. How did you get all the way here if it was just a fall down on your face?
I still don't even know where I feel about this whole thing. Like, I just don't.
I think the best thing would have been, okay, now bear with me here. The best thing would have been if he rescues, remember how he rescues the girl at the end? She's chained up and he rescues her. For him to leave with her. Thinking she's a real person. And then you see like the glowy eyes and she's like, oh my God, I'm so glad we're escaping or something.
But
right.
You
realize
maybe
she's a robot.
Later in cinematic history. I mean, the whole plot twist at the end, you know, maybe that just was not a thing back then. Can you help me out?
Tried
you
for
know
it,
about
though.
These years?
I mean, Crichton, for what it's worth, can write a plot twist. Like he's
still tried for
before.
It at the end. It's like, save me. And then, oh my God, I'm a robot. Like it still was
oh my
so
God,
close.
No water.
Right. Right, it's,
yeah,
but it's
but
so close to the end.
You're still in the 70s, though. You're not trying to have, like, cliffhanger. You're not trying to have plot. You're trying to get
you're
the...
also not trying to have franchises and all that
but
shit.
You're just trying to keep
the Twilight Zone. Like, you've had the Twilight Zone.
That was TV.
You've seen that you can do this kind of storytelling.
But that was TV.
That doesn't matter, though. It was TV. It's a different medium, but it's still the whole storytelling. It's the meme. It's the thing of fucking with people and then giving them something different.
I think that would have been a cool twist. Instead, he hears the voice from the commercial in his head.
But again, this is a show that has a movie that has a lot of good ideas, does not touch them at all.
Poorly executed.
Yeah, and that's why you're getting a good show after. But thinking about it more, the more we've been talking, I go back to Battlestar Galactica that I reference. It's the same exact process. Race a robot that you don't know too much about them, start to get consciousness, and you don't know if they're human or not. All that from a show where robots were just killing people. From an original where robots were just killing people. So I'm guessing it's the exact same process that they're using, but they're changing the setting.
All right, so fair point about Battlestar Galactica. One thing that Battlestar Galactica did, which was cool, is eventually shows you the Cylons from the original TV show and the spaceships and everything.
Right,
the
original toasters.
Right, and it kind of makes you think that the 70s TV show was a prequel to the modern storytelling. Do you want to see anything from the movie show up in the TV show?
Are you asking me if next season or the season after I see Yul Brynner in a fucking chamber or zip himself up in a body bag? No.
In fairness, he is the Man in Black.
No, he is not.
Yeah.
You have a nameless Man in Black for a lot of the first season of Westworld.
Yeah, but you know who he becomes.
Right. They ultimately answer that. Do you think that a badass Yul Brynner character...
And that's kind of... Okay, hold on. That's kind of what ruined it for me because I'm like, hey, are you watching this thing? I'm like, I really like this show, blah, blah. I'm doing a podcast. And he goes, oh, why would I watch it? I know the Man in Black's a robot. And like at episode 3...
Oh, that must have screwed with your
mind. I was like, what? He's going, no, he's not. What the fuck?
Wow.
And he's like...
You really thought they adapted the movie.
Well,
yeah?
Right. Well, no, because he's like, you know, from the original movie. I'm like, I'm not watching that. I'm like, no, he's not a robot. And then I started, but that's another theory that I started. I'm like, he can't be a robot. He's there, da 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 da, blah, blah. But still, it's like, you can't... I don't know. The way that they move it and adjust it just enough to be different...
Yeah.
Yet it still has enough of a toe in that original bit is intriguing.
I will say
to
that.
To be fair, though, the sequel will touch on all these things, like the replacing people.
But the
all
sequel wasn't made at all by Crichton or anybody in that.
No.
Or not. Yeah.
But
was it Crichton?
Yeah, but you buy the franchise, you know?
Okay, but there's an interesting thing about that, because in Future World, they're using the robot replicas to replace world leaders.
Okay.
And we know that Delos has an agenda beyond simply the park.
True, but we haven't seen that.
The park is just a testing ground for this technology.
Do we know that?
Yeah, that's it. Keep talking about their other project in the show.
Yeah. And so it would be really kind of cool if you find out.
Oh, in the show, not in this film.
No.
Right. In the show of Westworld, they're trying to create AI that can replace world leaders, or I guess Martian leaders, if you want to take that theory.
Oh, I mean, it could just be, it's anywhere, but that could be the place that the park is. That's why it's $40,000 a day. You know what I mean?
Actually, they're not on Mars. They're on a very, very, very old Caprica.
All of this has happened before, and it will happen again.
Or they own like four states in the Southwest. You don't get that much of the Grand Canyon or the whatever trench. There's a large space.
Or it's a holodeck.
Yeah, but why would they have physical beings and that many of them if it's a holodeck? As in Mav and the samurais and everybody else. Why would you have that many physical beings?
One thing that I think
and
is
a bird.
Cool.
Why would you have a physical bird if it's a holodeck?
Why would you have a snake, man?
Yeah, why would you have a
horse? Is the horse a robot?
It is a robot.
Pick up the horse.
Yeah, the four guys picking up the horse. Each grab your leg. No problem.
Looking at that, I was like, except if that's for the Rock.
And you know
forget
what?
It.
Wasn't there a beagle? Wasn't there a beagle on the fucking table somewhere?
Table.
I swear to God, I saw a beagle the skeevies.
I was totally thinking that must have been like the dead beagle of someone on the production that got stuffed. Sure. And they were just like, please put my dead beagle in this.
Let it live forever.
Oh. A dog's purpose.
Let's be honest. People would have dogs and pets made once the original quote unquote dies.
Yeah, that's actually a good point. Like, so what? It's a robot.
Yeah, but your cat will never die.
You know what? If Winnie died right now and I could not necessarily clone her, but make a robot out of her that was exactly the same, fucking A.
We would be rich.
Yeah, clone or robot, I would be a gajillionaire in less than a day. That's a number. It's a lot of zeros.
A lot of zeros.
It's a trillion.
All right, folks. Do we want to put a rating?
We should probably put a stamp and then a different stamp on it. So
yeah, do not open.
I hate you with love. All right, Wings, do your thing.
So for Westworld 1973, the original, are you going legendary, legends of its time, cult legend, awesome, entertaining, Mabel, forgettable, abysmal, or Spring Breaker, Islander? Lobster?
Sure. I will go with abysmal. I really, there isn't enough here to call it forgettable. Like, it would have to have something of value for me to thus forget to be forgettable. There's no reason why, even if you're a fan of the Westworld TV show, there's no reason for you to watch this movie. There's literally nothing of substantive value that you can't get from the TV show. I will give Michael Crichton credit for what he tried to do with this. Obviously, he's best known as a science fiction techno thriller author. I give him credit for directing a movie, and it's a movie, right? Like, it's got a couple thrills. It's got a couple chills.
You can see the first threads of all his other shit.
Yeah. And so maybe if you're a historian or an anthropologist of film, you want to check this out. If Westworld HBO delves more into this kind of mythos and maybe makes some back references to Westworld, like we saw the Battlestar Galactica TV series do to the original, it might be worth checking out just to get some of those references. But other than that, there's really nothing redeeming here. It's not even a thrilling thriller. It's just kind of dull.
Okay. I'll be honest, I can't give it abysmal because, as you said, it's kind of okay directed. The first act is, you know, you get in easily. They have a way to get you in the movie at the start where maybe there's more question that pops in my mind because I've seen the show. It can't be forgettable because there's nothing to forget. There's nothing in this movie. The robot kills people at some point. That's pretty much it. So I think I'm stuck with Mabel. It was entertaining for maybe 30 minutes, and then it started to go downhill when we started asking questions. So, yeah, Mabel. Shark Tackle?
I'm going to go right between you two and go forgettable. It is a Michael Crichton film, so just for, like I was saying at the beginning, oh, Crichton? What do I know this guy from? And then it was like, well, basically I probably just know him from Jurassic Park. I mean, what else, really? So, you know, there's a reason to see it, especially now with the series. It has not aged well, but like Wing says, there's a good first, even second act. It's kind of, you know, you get into it, you watch it, but then like as soon as the third act starts, it's just letdown after letdown. I was all the time thinking, maybe this is gonna happen. Nope. Maybe that's gonna happen. Nope. Oh, they could do this. So it's just letdown after letdown. And I believe at the beginning of the cast, we mentioned that this was before 2001. Is that did I hear that properly?
No, isn't it in the 60s?
No, it's not, because 2001 was 68, so it doesn't innovate on the homicidal AI. It's just a rehash. So forgettable, definitely. Yeah,
there's no intelligence, I would argue.
That's true. I guess it's just killer robots. Yeah. But then don't we have like the day the Earth stood still in the 50s or something?
It's literally like they're literally appliances that are just going haywire.
Oh, yeah. But I mean, there were a few things that I'm like, okay, like the eye thing, I was like, oh, that's pretty cool. And the, like you said, the hovercraft, there's some effects were cool to see, but I am definitely not going to remember this next Tuesday. It's going to be gone from my mind forever. So I'm going to go with forgettable.
Beef?
Oh, I'm sorry for people who listen to this show and other shows. I really got to go abysmal. I got to follow Lobster. This movie has no redeeming quality other than 43 years later, it spawned a awesome TV show that bakes my noodle. There's robots, they go bad. There's a lot of plot threads that want to get started that don't ever go anywhere, and it's just, I don't know, I'm an elitist. I'm not a pot snob, I'm not a movie snob, I'm not this or that, but apparently maybe just old movies I'm a shithead about, because I got into it a bit because I had to, but it never went anywhere. There's no really redeeming quality. You know what's going to happen. People are going to die. Someone's going to get out, maybe. Maybe it's the mustache dude. Crap, it's the mustache dude. I mean, really, it is. It is abysmal.
And I think Dominic Cooper later becomes a cool actor, and he gets to play roles like Tony Stark's father and other stuff. But in this, he's kind of forgettable, right?
But shit, even for no 70s jugs, I gotta go abysmal.
If it had done the jugs, like at least it would be entertain. Like I would up it even to entertaining.
No way!
Wow.
I wouldn't say that like, far. I wouldn't say that
cheap.
Far.
You but, like, sir are cheap.
He is an American male of a certain age. Goddamn it, woman, leave him be.
Yeah, but like if it were the kind of movie you like stayed up late when your parents went to bed to sneak a peek at. Because it was a little provocative.
Right, but it was still early. It was like early sci-fi that you got into. But this it doesn't even have the boob to make you try to like the movie. It's just more or less like,
I mean, nowhere near the amount of skin of the HBO show, which I feel like the HBO show is that thing now. So
come on.
It is overboard, but they, in a weird way, as wrong as it sounds, they do it classy. Every time I see Thandie Newton, the first time I was shocked and like, wow, she's gorgeous, wow, she's naked. Now I'm just like, she's a robot and she's about to kill somebody and it's going to be awesome. Yep. Like, I don't even recognize her as naked now as like a sexual thing.
You don't even realize that she's Carl Urban's wife in the Chronicles of Riddick.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she was.
Oh my God. But no, I didn't. And it's not a sexual thing. When she's sitting there naked, it's just like, she's a robot in her natural form and yeah. You better look out because yep. She's about to hurt somebody. Like, it's hot. Don't get me wrong. Maybe I'm like Sean now, and I want to be hurt by hot chicks, but still.
But you had a sex scene where they turn on the left, and then on the right.
Yeah.
And then on the left.
Yeah.
And then again on the right.
Yep.
And she put her clothes back on.
Yeah. I took that to mean that they just cut out the sex, which happens somewhere between the rolling around and the putting the clothes
She's
on.
A pleasure model. She sure is, Bob.
No, she's a snuggle. She's a snuggle model.
She's a cold snuggle model. Yeah.
Oh God. Okay.
She'll cool you down on a hot night.
All right, we'll go with the we'll go with the extended last word, peeps.
Daphne.
Your Majesty.
Gunslinger.
Horn mouth.
God.
This has been episode 7 of Westworld Weekly. Westworld, the 1973 movie. I'm Beef saying, don't do it. Just watch the series on HBO, please.
I'm Wing saying, it was not that bad.
I'm Lobster saying, there's no way you can get hurt. Please, trust us. Trust us. Now sign here on this indemnity waiver just in case you get hurt.
I'm Shark Taco saying, nothing can go wrong.
Isn't that the first sign of there's going to be lots of problems?
Oh, God, yeah.
Yeah. The other thing, we can't close the park down. We're making too much money.
Yeah, right.
It's just a cautionary tale about corporate greed. That's all I get from it.
And let's be honest, 3 years later, they reopen Future World.
Yeah, what
so
the hell?
Nobody sued.
They would never reopen.
Well, it seems we're never watching this movie, so.
We might, just not for a while.
Where are you going, Sean?
If you want to drop us a line, hit us up on Twitter at Westworld Weekly. And if you want to shoot us an email with thoughts and theories, send that to westworldweekly@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody, for listening, and we will catch you soon.